Welcome to the ParentNet podcast by Focus on the Family Singapore. In each episode, we'll be speaking with everyday parents and practitioners as they share with us gems from their parenthood journey. Keep tuning in to learn with us as we figure it out together.
Hello and welcome to the ParentNet podcast. My name is Aaron and I'm your host for this episode. As parents, it's difficult to see our children procrastinate. We cannot understand why they would choose to distract themselves with devices or other things when there's already so much to do. But is there something that we are missing beneath the surface? Could our children be overwhelmed by the weight of homework, expectations, or the fear of not meeting their goals? In this episode, we will explore these questions and more, as well as cover practical tips on how to help our teens overcome this negative cycle and develop healthier habits. To shed light on this topic, I'm excited to welcome back our guest Paul to our podcast. He's a father of three children, aged 11, 13, and 18, and he's also a senior lecturer at a local university. Thank you for joining us on the podcast, Paul.
Thanks for having me, Aaron.
To help our new listeners to get to know you a bit better, could you share an interesting fact about yourself?
Wow, that could take half a day. I am also a counsellor. Apart from my day job, during the COVID, I realized that, you know, why were all the people around me going crazy? So I decided to take a master's in counseling, and I'm a full-fledged counselor now. And just dealing with all kinds of range of challenges that people come to me for, referred to me, whether it's through friends or even taking on my own clients. So that's one. I also like the outdoors, walking in the parks, or even if going overseas, my dream is to go to this New Zealand place called Milford Sound. Haven't gone there yet. Outdoor sports, activities, I'm the kind of person.
We're on this topic of procrastination, right? I wonder how many of us procrastinate, because some self-disclosure here, I procrastinated a lot, especially during my early teen years in secondary school. Somehow, I'll not have the mood to complete my school assignments, I'll put off things that I need to do, and I remember getting in trouble in school because of this. And the irony was, I knew that I was going to be getting in trouble, but yet I still procrastinated. So to get us started on this topic, Paul, what are some common signs that a teenager is feeling overwhelmed and then because of that, they procrastinate?
This is a often misunderstood topic, and I think it's very important and timely you are talking about this, Aaron, because even in the media, we find that the local media keeps talking about the difference between procrastination and laziness. And I think as parents, it's almost immediate that we jump to the conclusion that our kids are lazy. And I have a feeling that it's because when we were younger, people told us that we were lazy. And so this is how laziness looks like. But procrastination is totally different because the root is different. Now, procrastination and laziness, how it operates and the outcomes look very, very similar, right? But for procrastination, the root is fear. In counseling psychology, we say that this is due to an issue of emotional dysregulation. That means to say that you know there's something to be done, but for some reason, whether you are afraid of the goal, it's maybe the target is too high, or because it's too complex or too complicated for you to do, or maybe you're afraid that if you do it, you can't do it to the standard that people want. And as a result, you try and avoid, of course, the discomfort is also, right? I mean, if we talk about your situation, how many of us like homework? No, right? I would easily say that none of us like homework. And so it's very normal for most kids or most adults to even try and delay and avoid doing that thing until the very last minute. And I think that is a sign of procrastination. And maybe I'm running ahead of myself, but then what does laziness look like? So laziness is a total disinterest, despite knowing that you have to do it. Now, be careful here, right? We don't want to confuse a disinterest that stems from big fear and anxiety. When I say disinterest, it means the person has totally no interest whatsoever, knows you have to do it, but deliberately rebels because this is not something that they want to do. In your case, when you mentioned about when you were younger, right, you knew you had a target. And as it got closer, maybe you got more anxious. Mm. That is classical sign of procrastination. And procrastination is not laziness. It's a matter of managing your emotions.
So what are some driving forces then behind procrastination? Because, you know, everybody behaves differently, right? When it comes to completing work or even doing their chores or even meeting expectations from whether from parents or from their peers.
It can stem a lot from feelings of inadequacy, so you're helpless, or you feel like it's hopeless. Take for instance, when I was younger, certain subjects, you find that no matter how you do, you just cannot get it right. And then you come back with all the red marks. Then you feel like, why do I do it for? That feeling of helplessness or everything is hopeless leads me to not want to do the work. Now, I know I have to do it. I know that if I don't submit the work on time, I'll get scolded by a teacher, which leads me to a greater spiral of, in the end, we call this thing called learned helplessness. That could be a root behind it. Or the fear of, like I said, high expectations. Whether it's expectation from the teacher or from society or from parents. And that leads me to want to avoid the project altogether.
So it could be really external factors, but at the same time, it could be from the child himself or herself.
Absolutely, yeah.
So then how can parents help their children knowing that, for example, I see my child is, I'm not sure right, whether it's laziness, procrastination, but I really want to help. But yet at the same time, if I help my child, am I doing too much? What can parents do?
Okay, I'm going to say something that may not seem to be commonly talked about. If you want to help your child deal with procrastination, you have to help yourself. Okay, I say this to parents because I'm a parent myself. And I asked my son for permission. Tell him, hey, I'm going on a podcast today. Can I use your example? And he said, sure. You know, I said, I won't say your name, but I asked him permission. Now, some of you parents are already thinking, why do you need to ask your child permission? I mean, after all, you as the parent should know better. Right? So why do I need his permission? And that's the thing. If you start asking these questions, then you probably come from a point where your childhood, you never were given the respect or what we call the agency, that means the ability, that independence to make your own decisions. That means you pretty much had to follow what people wanted to do. And when you talk about want to help your child deal with procrastination, you must first help yourself. Then my question is this, why are you so anxious and worried about your child succeeding? And oftentimes we do what we do to our children because of what we believe to be true. We are what we call projecting. And when we project, we're projecting our fears onto our kids. And for a lot of us, it's about control. We go into the working world as parents, we see, well, the world is messy, there are politics, oh no, my child's not doing the homework, then cannot get the grades they want to get into the school, and then after that cannot get into school, cannot get into the university, and then cannot get the salary, and it's endless, right? And you realize that these are the very same fears that you had. So then ask yourself, where did those fears come from? And how were those fears projected onto you? And chances are, it was either society, or your parents, or maybe yourself. I'm going to do a little bit of digress a little bit. There are some parents who right now are listening to me and you are hearing that, oh, I'm not the kind of parent. I don't force my views on my kids. I leave them be and let them handle life on their own. I give them freedom. I actually teach elite group of scholars. And it's interesting to see that the anxiety of scholars is actually very, very high, super high, to the point where I'm concerned about them, whether they burn out. And I talk to them a lot. And I've come to the point where I can easily just say that, look, you're anxious because of two things. One, did your parents force their opinion onto you and project their opinions? And they will say no. Then I said, very good. So I know how you got anxious and your anxiety comes from a point where your parents were too free with you. You gave you so much independence and then you could not make sense of where the boundaries are in life and you had to start overcompensating for what you did not know was enough to do or not. And they say yes. So you see, parents, I guess what I'm trying to say is this. I'm a parent myself. With my kid, he was procrastinating and I was wondering why. And I realized it stemmed from fear. Of course, I won't identify what the fear is, but he went through counseling. I also supported him. But through that journey, I also asked myself, what is it about me that I want to project onto him? For the very same things I just said. The world is a messy place, you know, now with all these challenges in the global order, how will things improve? How will my son even have a future? And so when those worries come to us, we start to want to take control. And the sense of control here is to control our kids. And when we start saying things like, why you're always like that? Why, I tell you already, you still don't listen to me. What's wrong with you? You see, you notice that these statements are really very accusatory. And if the kid is having a lot of fear already, and then you start accusing your kids in with these statements, it's a very dead-ended statement which gives the kid no chance to fight back. And when they start fighting back, you say they are rude. You see, you notice that you are not giving them space to explain or even understand. Why? Because you know better.
supposedly, right? You know better as a parent. I know what to do. I'm successful, all right? And you might be successful in the workplace, but really, are you that successful? So managing kids is how we manage people also. You give them space. At the office, you don't say, you always like that one. You don't say that, right? So you also just talk to them and ask, okay, where are you coming from? Why are you doing this? Is there a reason why? And you can tell daddy or mommy. And of course, when you tell daddy or mommy, right? Daddy, mommy, please don't overreact. Okay? Right? Some parents like, oh, they find out their kids are being bullied in school. Well, march straight to the principal's office. Okay, that's not the best idea. I know of a story of someone, a parent heard that the kid was bullied, waited outside the school gates to confront the bully. Okay, I totally don't recommend that. So once again, back to the issue of you as a parent, the reason why you don't know how to deal with your child's procrastination is because you probably need working on yourself. So how do you work on yourself? Well, you can listen to podcasts like this. You can look on resources. You can get counseling help. But I guess maybe, Aaron, your question for me is like, maybe are there some relevant or usable tips? Would that be something you want to know?
Yeah, for sure. You know, as you were saying this, I just went back, you know, my youth days again. And I was like, what kind of help would I appreciate as a young person? Would I appreciate the adults in my life slowing down and just checking in on me and saying, you know, how are you feeling? You know, I know you're not being able to keep up with school or with all these things, but really what's going on? Yep. You know, just for me to have that space to share.
Yeah.
But I think it was just so fast and with all the emotions, I don't think I even had the chance to do that. And then now you say about parents having to work things out themselves. I think as adults and as parents, we don't have time to sit down and process our emotions as well. When's the last time you actually said, I think I'm rushing a little bit ahead of myself. I probably need to take a step back and see, you know, whether am I projecting too much even on my children. So that's what you said, you know, the resources are there. But now, do we have the time to even use those resources?
I mean, the time. So let me give you a situation, a scenario before I give you the tips. So let's say the kid, they haven't done homework. Typical example, tomorrow, check homework. All right, which homework do you have? Huh? Haven't done your homework yet? Stun, right? Time now, 9 p.m. Got to go to bed soon already by 10 p.m. And then how come you haven't done your homework yet? You get triggered as a parent. So then the parent forces the child to do the work. Nothing wrong because tomorrow got deadlines. But what if this is, let's say we're talking about a week's time. We're not talking about tomorrow you have to hand in your work. Let's say a week's time advance, right? Then parent forces a child to do something. Now the child may comply. And then to you, it's like, oh, very good, huh? See, obedient. We like to use the word obedient. But no, you know, the child is complying. Obedience and compliance are two very different things. I comply because I have to. My students call it the law of bo bian, all right? The law of no choice. I have to comply. Now, what happens when a child complies? The child realizes that I will do this in order to get my parent off my back. It becomes a very transactional kind of relationship that unfortunately will result in learning that love is transactional. Parents, do you really want this for your kids? Do you want your child to comply so that you feel like you're in control and therefore leads them to a transactional way of seeing life? Which is not surprising when you ask people at the workplace, right? Why are you doing the things you're doing? They always say, bo bian, the law of bo bian, there's no choice. Well, guess where they learn from? Because control is a very important part of our society, and parents have unfortunately, you know, propagated that. Okay, let's look at the other way. So you force your child to comply. Your child, in the end, says, no, I choose not to listen to you, daddy, mommy, because I know I'm right. What do you do as a parent? Wah, typical traditional parent, scold, you know, you disobedient child, or take out the cane, whack, you know, got many, many stripes on the hand, right? What does that do to the child? This child is independent. This child actually has a mind that's very clear about his or her emotions. And yet you as the parent, because you feel that this is a challenge to your authority, you then start beating up the child. Well, guess what? You're pushing the child away. And we see so many cases of how this leads to at-risk youth behavior. Whether they turn to vaping, or whether they turn to drugs, or whether they turn to unhealthy kind of habits, right? So that's what happens when you want to force the child. Now, the vast majority of what I see, when parents force the child to do something they don't want, it ends up being what you call compliance. Because the child decides, this is the smoothest path towards peace and happiness for myself. Why do I want to get cane? So we are getting a whole group of people, raising a generation of kids who you as parents feel like you're controlling your kids and everything is well in the family, but actually your child is learning very transactional values from you. I digress a lot. Did I even answer the question?
No, I think you're spot on, because if you think about it, right, it's about the parents' need for control and need for order, but yet at the same time, at the risk of the relationship with the child. Yeah, like I can get the homework done and things are in order.
Yep, it looks right.
Looks right. You know, they go back to school, everything's fine. Yep, you know, I've done my job as a parent. I'm a good parent.
Yeah.
Pat on the back.
Yeah.
But yet at the same time, my child is resentful.
Exactly.
My child is frustrated. Yeah. And it's like thinking, I'm forced to do something that I don't want to do at this point. Or perhaps I'm just so stretched. I'm so tired. So speaking exactly the reason, right? Why we're even talking on this topic of procrastination. So it's emotional for sure.
Yep.
But yet at the same time, it's also relational.
And you just sort of reminded me of something. You know, how you treat boys and how you treat girls are also very different. And whether you're a mother and whether you're a father, it's also very different. And I think this is for another time. I have two boys and one girl. When I deal with my daughter, when it comes to procrastination, I have to be gentler with her, but firm. Of course, everyone says, oh, she's the princess of the family, right? But time will tell, all right? Because I know that I have been firm with her, but I'm gentler. With guys, I generally tend to be like, hey, bro, yeah, believe it or not, we call it one another bro, right? My kids, what's happening? Oh, dude, hey. So it's a little bit of like, you know, how should I call it? I don't want to call it masculine because just the words don't define masculinity. Mm. But that idea of I'm with you, I'm walking with you, I'm giving you space. So maybe getting to what it's supposed to be and the tips, right? If I find that they haven't finished their work, so what I would do is, okay, if I told them many times already and that they still don't do, I know procrastination is in place already, but I've given you the tools, now I have a right to be angry with you, all right? And they know it, right? But in the very beginning, I don't get angry. I will always sit down and ask why. What is bothering you? Okay, so you have not finished your homework 3 days time, or you haven't practiced your piano, real life situation right now. You haven't practiced your piano, why was bothering you? And with my son, the reason why he's not practicing piano is because he feels that he needs to be perfect. Like, oh, first question, right? Now as a counselor, I'm like, am I forcing him to be perfect, right? Because I want to know whether I'm the problem first. Then I realized that no, and I asked him, who asked you to be perfect? I said, is it daddy asked you to be perfect? And he said, no. He said, sure, because it's me, then I'm happy for you to quit piano. I don't want you to think that this is something that's associated with perfection. He said, no, this is what I want for myself. Like, oh, okay. Okay, so if this is what you want for yourself, then I want to know why you feel like you have to be perfect. And then maybe it'll be something, example, oh, when I go to piano class, I listen to all the other people play piano, they're so good, I feel I'm not good enough. So in a sense, he's disqualifying himself before he can even get down to playing the piano. So, okay, so once we got that point of view and the understanding, then okay, then I sit down, talk to him, and like, hey, you know that these guys, right, they're not that awesome immediately, that took time, and oh really, it takes practice and so on. So maybe I should bring you to listen to how the beginners are playing. Then you realize that, oh yeah, actually I'm the same level as them. Good. Does it create a mindset shift? Sure. Is it immediate? It may not be. So, but I think the key thing is this, when you realize your child is procrastinating, the first question is not to scold them or to accuse them. The first thing to do is to check yourself. Mm. All right. Don't punish them first. Ask why. Like, can I ask why? And I know sometimes you can say, but I say already what? I already say, can I ask why what? Yeah, but your tone don't reflect it. Can I ask why? Versus, can I ask why? You see, the tone already tells you that you're frustrated. And of course, the kid is turned off. So I ask, can I ask why? And then, you know, it may take the kid a while, but the kid will then respond, oh, because of this reason. They say, okay. And as parent, it's very important that we don't judge. So you're feeling scared, is it? All right, okay. I've been scared before. And I guess what we're talking about is to normalize the emotion. This is proven through science. This is proven through experience of many, many people, even my clients. You don't want to deny them their emotion. If they're feeling scared, they're scared. Now, the facts may not fit their feelings, and we have to sort of match that, but that'll take time. But if they feel scared, that's their feeling. If they feel uncertain, if they feel overwhelmed, that's their feeling. As parents, we must give them the right to feel that way. We then support them and find out how we can match the facts to their feelings and show them that the facts and the feelings don't match. And that actually, you're feeling this way, but this is the fact. And after that, they'll realize, oh, wow, actually, I don't have to feel this way. If you don't know what to do, I mean, definitely go and find a counselor, find resources, and you need to practice. You need someone to really check in on you, because I think as parents, most of us have no clue how to be parents.
Yeah, I hear you about the practice bit, because you do it once, sometimes go back to the way we behave again. Yep. Right? We just need to tell ourselves, okay, I'm going to change my tone.
Yeah.
I'm going to change my behavior. Mm-hmm. I'm going to change the way I parent, and be intentional about it.
Yeah.
You know, thank you, Paul, for sharing with us your insights so far. I really hear about how the story, the signs, and your real life experience, how it all connects together. And maybe we need to listen to this podcast again, right? To just remind
myself
ourselves,
included.
Yeah, that's to hear, you know, and to learn and maybe absorb some stuff and to put it into practice. Is there anything you'd like to share? Any words of encouragement? Because we're coming to a close.
Okay.
Any words of encouragement to the parents that are tuning in right now?
You know, we started with asking about how do you help kids overcome procrastination. And then I said, parent, please look at yourself. But then I want to talk to parents, you as a parent, right? This could trigger some people, but I want to ask, what happened to you? And I think a lot of times, like what you said, Aaron, we haven't got the time to actually stop and process. If you're listening to this podcast, take some time. If you took time to listen to the podcast, you can take time to sit on the bench in the park or just walk outside. Don't worry, your kids will be fine. Okay? Your kids will be fine. Take some time and ask yourself, what happened to me? And think back to the times when you felt that you denied your emotions and your feelings and all these things. And it might be overwhelming, and that's okay. But if you really want to be the best parent you can be, you first have to sort yourself out. Otherwise, it's going to continue with this cycle. And you know what's the scary part? Your kids will learn from your behavior, and your kids will pass that down to your grandchildren. And we want to break the cycle. So you can break the cycle. So don't take it too hard on yourself, right? We all have our wounds, but hey, you know what? There's a lot of resources that we can find. Get some help for yourself.
Thank you so much. If you are looking for more parenting resources, do visit our website at family.org.sg/resources, or you can subscribe to our monthly newsletter at family.org.sg/subscribe. We believe you have enjoyed this episode that we have for you today, so do keep tuning in to the ParentNet podcast to learn and grow in your parenting journey.